This is TWiT.
So, you know, you were talking for the first half of Mac Break Weekly pretty much about this iCloud breach. And I think it's significant that we don't really have proof yet from anything that Apple has told us that, you know, like the nature of the breach. Certainly it was wrong to for the Find My iPhone interface not to have any sort of lockout. And so what we do know, and this could be completely tangential to the fact that, you know, 100 celebrities got personal and private parts uploaded to the internet. And, but what we do know is that on GitHub, there was a project called iBrute, and it just leveraged the fact that the API for Find My iPhone had no rate limiting and no failure lockout of any sort, which was clearly was an oversight on Apple's part. Again, it's one of those where we're back to our classic trade-off of security and convenience. You know, if they have a lockout, some people are going to lock themselves out, and whereas like the next guess they of like their many passwords that they use might have been right, but the lockout occurs just before they get to that one, and now they can't get in, and then they've got to go to, you know, do I forgot my password at Apple. So,
and we should point out that, and we read this on Mac Break Weekly, but Apple has put out a statement in which they said there is no flaw in iCloud or Find My iPhone. They, by the way, fixed that rate limiting issue yesterday.
Yes, immediately.
And they said that it was, in fact, an individualized attack that utilized secret questions, among other things. So,
well, and that, yes, and that leads me perfectly into the next point, which is we covered a couple of weeks ago the news about the discovery of the massive database in South Central Russia of nominally 4.5 billion email addresses and names, which when filtered and dupe eliminated and sorted through, still left us with 1.2 billion names. Now, the reason I bring this up is that there is a domain name registrar, DNS and website hosting provider by the name of Namecheap, who yesterday blogged their urgent security warning about the fact that their site was under attack. And Mark Russell, who's the VP of their hosting services, posted yesterday on Labor Day. And what he put down was just very responsible and I think so clear. I just want to share it. He said, overnight, our intrusion detection systems alerted us to a much higher than normal load against our login systems. Upon investigation, we determined that the username and password data gathered from third-party sites, likely the data identified by the register, is being used to try and gain access to Namecheap.com accounts. The group behind this is using the stored usernames and passwords to simulate a web browser login through fake browser software. This software simulates the actual login process a user would use if they are using Firefox/Safari/Chrome, you know, any of the standard browsers, to access their Namecheap account. The hackers are going through their username password list and trying each and every one to try to get into Namecheap user accounts. The vast majority of these login attempts have been unsuccessful as the data is incorrect or old and passwords have been changed. As a precaution, we are aggressively blocking the IP addresses that appear to be logging in with the stolen password data. because those can't be spoofed. You have to have a TCP connection, so you have the IP address of the source. I'm just adding there. And he goes on, we're also logging these IP addresses and we'll be exporting blocking rules across our network to completely eliminate access to any Namecheap system or service, as well as making this data available to law enforcement. While the vast majority of these logins are unsuccessful, some have been successful. To combat this, we've temporarily secured the Namecheap accounts that have been affected and are currently contacting customers involved, requesting they improve the security of these accounts. So then I skipped a bunch, and then he says, he concludes, I must reiterate, as Apple did, this is not a security breach at Namecheap, nor a hack against us. The hackers are using usernames and passwords being used that have been obtained from other sources. These have not been obtained from Namecheap, but these usernames and passwords that the hackers now have are being used to try to log into Namecheap accounts. Our early investigation shows that those users who use the same password for their Namecheap account that are used on other websites are the ones who are vulnerable.
Yeah, so it's not even a Namecheap attack. It's correct. Using the same password.
Well, and so what's interesting is the coincidence of these two unrelated, except in time, attacks. That is, this sounds like exactly the attack that went after Find My iPhone, which was not being monitored and was not rate limited or didn't have any X number of mistakes against the account. So it, again, hypothesizing here, but this could also be the same attack on Apple, could be what Namecheap has saw and is now blocking, which, you know, from their information, they believe to be the use of this massive database that we've talked about weeks ago, it was some guy with a security firm that was charging $120 a year to let you know. But it turns out that individuals, I guess, were able to check, but corporations had to pay in order to make sure that, you know, their information wasn't vulnerable. And everybody felt a little creepy about it because you had to, you know, give them all of your information, like
give
put it in your web browser.
You had to give them your passwords, which is crazy.
Exactly.
So, there's reason to believe that isn't the source of the attack. It seems to be that this attack has been long going on, that the Jonathan Shadarsky has been tweeting a lot about this, and he believes that it was the iCloud backups from the victims' phones that were compromised, partly because of the kind of data, the names of the data. Apple said it was a very targeted attack on usernames, passwords, and security questions. It feels to me like this might have been I bet you they were taking advantage of the lack of rate limiting on the Find My iPhone and just brute forcing passwords for particular people. If you say, look, I want to get Leo Laporte's iCloud backup, let's just guess. You need to guess or know the email that they use.
Yours is a big secret, Leo.
Yeah, mine's secret. One of the things Renee Ritchie said on MacBreak Weekly is that's a good reason to use an email that is not your first and last name. At gmail.com, because that's the first thing people guess. And then you just keep hitting that, maybe with several people, maybe many people, just keep hitting that. Well, and if you know who you want to get.
And when you have for a smaller organization, for example, such as Namecheap.com, an attack on them is going to make a big blip on their radar.
They're
going to
see
But with an organization as large as Apple, with the ecosystem as large as theirs, it's going to be, as long as it isn't like a denial of service attack of, you know, guessing usernames and passwords, if it's just a trickle And right, over time right. they crack them, then that's gonna slip under the radar. So it is. I mean, the really good thing that came from this is that something that should have had an account lockout now has one. Though again, it's a trade-off. Apple will, you know, users are going to be inconvenienced. But you know, you could argue that, well, yes, they deserve it if they are unable to log into their account after however many attempts Apple has set. Do we know how many that is? Did Jonathan post
on the new standard? I don't know. No.
Yeah.
Apple says to protect against this type of attack, we advise all you. And I think this is a clue. All users to always use a strong password and enable two-step verification. And be my guess, you know, if you have a strong password, a brute force is going to be very difficult. So it'd be my guess that Apple's in a way hinting these people didn't have strong passwords and were not using two-step verification. Those yep. things can be turned on. You know, that's just a matter of changing your password and making it strong. That's what Jodarski posted on his tweet, is that A, people should not only do that, lock down your account, but to also delete your iCloud backups, you know, of your iPhone and iPad, because that is apparently what people are grabbing. And it should be pointed out that if they got a lot more than just photos.
Yes. Yeah, the photos were just what was juicy that they were able to share. It's interesting too that this happened all at once. I mean, I wonder if this was a Labor Day release of data that was accumulated over a much longer period of time. Yeah.
It's hard to tell because it was a backup. So a lot of the contents were old, some as many as 3 years old, but that's a backup, right? It may, you know, if you kept it on your phone for 3 years and you backed up your phone, it's going to be there. So I don't think
it was also noteworthy that apparently some of the imagery showed people with non-Apple phones. And so, I mean, we don't absolutely know where all of this came from. We just know that, you know, iCloud seems to have been implicated.
Well, Jodarski says that the file names of it, he has at least one complete dump, and that file name indicates an iCloud backup.
Ah, okay.
And nobody's talked about anything else except iCloud. I haven't looked at the pictures, so I don't know that there are non-Apple phones in them. But and by the way, from the information Jodarski is tweeting out, I think they're going to catch the person who did this. Lots of information was left behind in this dump. For instance, he knows what photo editor was used on some of these photos. There's a UUID in these files. There's a lot of information that law enforcement can use to get this person.
Really does sound like this had been pending for a while, that like this was all collected over time and then dumped out at once in order to make quite a big splash, as I guess it did.